Hey, and welcome to the Crosspoint Church Podcast. We are a church that is for the city in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We are passionate about helping people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So, if you're just joining us for the first time, we would love for you to check out our website, thecrosspointchurch.ca. There you can find ways to connect with us and see what's happening at Crosspoint. Now, let's listen to this week's Sunday message.
Well, good morning, Crosspoint. How are ya? Wow, that's good. Welcome to those of you who are visiting us for the first time or joining us online. We would love to get to know you more, so we hope that you'll fill out that connecting card and drop us a line at the back after the gathering or through our website at thecrosspointchurch.info. That's it again. Now, I'm glad to be back in the Word with you guys this morning as we dig back into the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus. And so today, if you have your Bibles or your phones, I'm going to get you to bring those out. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. So starting in verse 25, or you can just follow along on the screen. We understand that some of you aren't prepared. So we have that for you. And today we're going to be talking about worry. What it is, what it isn't, why it matters, and where it belongs. And I don't know if you've been following along this series on the Mount. Jesus, his teaching strikes to our hearts, doesn't it? And for many of us today is bombarded with fears about tomorrows. And Jesus knows that about us. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows that we worry more than we really should. He understands, and the Bible says that the Lord examines our hearts and knows our thoughts and everything about us. And so Jesus speaks to the experience of worry with such clarity. And he envisions for us today a kingdom life for his disciples, those who choose to follow him. And so today let's look at what he says about worry. And we're going to get right into it, starting with verse 25. Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day or hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will I eat and what will I drink or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all of these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." This is the word of the Lord. Let's just pray before we get into it. Lord, we come to you as a worrisome people. And you're going to appeal to our minds, but we need you to put your truth deep down in our hearts where it sticks there. We need a work of your Spirit to live this out. You're making a high call, and we can't do it without you. So, Lord, we invite you into our lives today as we hear from your very mouth. And we ask that you would change us, the way we live and the way we see things, and the way we live life with you. We thank you for these things. And all God's people said, amen. Now, in this passage, I don't know if you've noticed what Jesus says about worry. He says something pretty hard for us. He says, don't do it, right? And this is important. He says it three times. It's not only that he says it, it's actually imperative. He commands it. Do not worry about your life. And listen, I will say what some of you might be thinking. You might be thinking, that's a hard one. Your gut response is, that's not fair. It's easy for Jesus to say that, but it's not that simple, is it? Why shouldn't we worry? And there seems to be a lot of things to worry about these days, isn't there? Right? Fitting in, getting good grades, figuring out what to do with your life, finding love, finding purpose, figuring out who you are and realizing your dreams. There are kids to feed, bills to pay, work to juggle. Our marriages are struggling. We have bodies are breaking and some of us are sick. There's border tariffs, cost of living, strikes, war, fentanyl, housing, and mental health crises. Did I lock the door? What do they think about me? Am I safe? And who will touch my stuffy? So much to worry about. But when Jesus talks about worry, what exactly does he mean? Right? And so let me tell you what it is and what it is not. Worry is not the same as care. It's important to care about things, people. I shouldn't have to tell you this. It's important, like, pay your mortgage, okay? Address injustice if you see it. Help people, those who are oppressed and needy. Jesus is not telling us that we shouldn't care about anything. In fact, as we become more and more like him, we are filled with more and more compassion for others and caring about what he cares about with the capacity that he can only give us to do it. And that's not it. Some of us, many in this room, suffer from crippling amounts of worry. And so this is important for me to say this morning. Jesus is not talking about clinical anxiety or PTSD. And so if you suffer from the side effects of a childhood or recent trauma or chemical imbalance that makes it impossible for you to self-regulate on your own, or even if you're overtired or overstimulated, if that's you, Jesus is not talking about that. He's not pointing you out and separating you and cornering you. If you're dealing with that, let me tell you this. It is real. You do not lack faith. It should not be avoided. It is not your fault, and you do not just need to stop it. Okay? The worry Jesus is talking about here is this uneasy and even sickly feeling we get when we allow our mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles because of the uncertainty over actual or potential problems now or in the future. And as I stand here, let me tell you, I stand here as someone who sometimes is better at worrying than not. I worried about this message. And so if you're like me, you're in good company. But where then does this worry come from? How does it get into our minds? Well, Jesus has the answer. Here is the reason for worry today. And so let's put everything in its proper place. Where does worry come from? Well, look at the beginning of verse 25. There is one word there. Can you see it? What is it? Therefore. And whenever you see that, it's for a reason in the biblical scripture. So what is that there for? It tell you, it connects what Jesus is about to say in this passage with what he has said. So let's back up to verse 19. Jesus said this, do not store for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, right, Amanda, there your heart will be also. It's true. Second, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great the darkness is.
Third, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, for example. See, Jesus shows us the reason for worry is, generally speaking, three dispositions of the heart. A disposition towards earthly treasures, distorted perception, and other masters. First, the treasure on earth is vulnerable and temporary. It is subject to the corrosion of nature, time, and people. But treasure in heaven is forever. Where our treasure is, our heart is, and it has our attention. Second, how we see things affects who we become. If our eye is healthy, we will be healthy. So we need a healthy perspective and perception of the world, or we are in trouble. Because of what we behold, we become. Like dirty windows, if everything we see is distorted and obscured, we will see the world in the wrong way and become some way God didn't intend for us. And it will be so easy, but I don't want to become cynical, ungrateful, and negative, do you? How is your eye? And third, Jesus says we cannot serve two masters. We will love one and hate the other. For example, you cannot serve God and love money. Love money, not money in general. The love of money, okay? And if God is the center of our lives, other things cannot have the same power over us as he does. Let me ask you a geometry question. How many centers of a circle are there? Just one. Let me ask you, what has control in your lives, and how does that make you feel? What is at the center of your life, the central controlling figure in your story? There can only be one. And so here, Jesus' words and ideas frame how we understand what he says in the passage we're looking at today. And what he's talking about is our priorities. What has our love and attention? And in the same way, we can be concerned about what we don't have, or what we need, or what we don't want, what will be, and what will happen next. We're all held in suspense day after day. And this is why it matters. The problem with worry, as many great minds have said, is what we allow in our minds over time can become the habits of our hearts. Isn't it true? If we entertain and indulge worry in our heads over things we cannot control, in time our hearts will naturally turn to worry instead of towards God with trust. And we will not have any direction in our lives and no peace for our souls. And so to this, Jesus says, do not worry about what you will eat, drink, or wear. Why? Because Jesus says that life is about more than that, isn't it? And some of you are here searching for meaning. You're thinking, life has to be about more than this right now. And some of you are just stuck or spinning out of control, and you need to be reminded, life is about more than this. And Jesus has a problem with this kind of worry because we weren't supposed to live that way, and now we must put worry back where it belongs. So listen to Jesus' appeal against worry and his invitation into a worry-less life. Okay? First, Jesus' appeal against worry. He encourages us today to step back and think about. And he makes two arguments against worry in the most tender way. He directs our attention to nature. First, he says, look at the birds. They do not sow, grow, or make their food. They don't reap or gather up food, and some don't even store up food for a rainy day or the winter. And yet, our Heavenly Father provides for them. And then he says, consider the lilies. They just grow. They don't toil every day, 9 to 5, and spin out of control worrying about tomorrow. They don't overwork themselves or fuss, letting worries get the best of them. And yet they are so beautifully dressed. Jesus says they're dressed more majestic than the king Solomon, the richest king of Israel. And they are just plants. Temporary, here today and gone tomorrow. And are we not more precious to God than that, than them? And I get it here. It's funny. We're talking about plants and animals. It's not really the same, is it? Sometimes birds and dandelions seem to get a bad deal too, hey? You're walking through the field, you see it. But even though our lives are so different, and we may be more than grass and animals, what has our superiority got us? Jesus has a point here, verse 27. How has our worry added a single day to our lives? What value has our worry added? What good has it done? Whatever the reasons may be, a lot of this kind of worry is a waste of time, isn't it? You realize that after the fact, you're like, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have worried like that. See, Jesus is using a literary device, making a point using lesser to greater. Essentially, he's saying, if God cares about these lesser things, how much more will he care for you? Are you not more valuable than birds and blossoms? But we don't always believe that, do we? I struggle with that. Do you? In his 2019 song, Wildflower, singer Clay Finneson captures this struggle perfectly. And the chorus goes like this. He says, beautiful wildflowers, no one to impress, without even trying, they're perfectly dressed. The birds of the air composing their song, not even anxious if they have a home. Worry has cost me so much, and I guess I'm just learning to trust like a wildflower. See, friends, that's what it comes down to. A matter of trust. Jesus says, will your heavenly Father not clothe you, O you of little faith? See, it's not that we don't have faith, it's just that we have little. And so we need to increase our faith. How? By trusting God with more and more. One little thing at a time for some of us, like me. To keep worry in check where it belongs. In submission to the commands of our Lord Jesus. But if we're going to do this, we need to accept something. And I think everything hinges on this. Look at this passage again. Jesus says, your heavenly Father feeds the birds. Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows what you need. Listen, he's your heavenly Father. And some of you need to hear this today repeatedly. You are his. You are his. You belong to him. He is your father, and we are his children. Let that sink in, because he is a good father who gives good gifts to us and provides for all our needs. We're not like the rest of creation, like birds and plants. We are made in his image, and we are precious to him, and you are worthy of his loving kindness no matter who you are and what you've done. You are his. Once we were like Gentiles without hope. Jesus says the Gentiles, they seek after all these things, food, clothing, and more, and they are never satisfied. See, then, in the time of Jesus, pagans worshipped angry, jealous, and malevolent gods. And there were many of them, not just one. And people were constantly preoccupied with making offerings and appeasing one for this and another for that. One to make it rain, and another to make the crops grow. Still another to give you children, and so on and so forth. They would stay up at night worrying if another god would smite them just for no reason. It's a terrible and worrisome way to live. Always afraid and always on edge. But now, usually, you know, people don't worship idols and false gods like they used to, not in the same way anyways. But still, many of us live under the fear and tyranny of things that control our lives: money, stuff, desire, distractions, pain, bitterness, and the past. Keeping up with the Joneses, influencers, and the next cultural trends. Did you know that stackable rings are in right now? I had no idea. I can't keep up. That's too many rings. But take a moment now, friends, to ask yourself, what are the false gods of this age and place? What choices have I made? And what unnecessary attachments do I have that cause me to worry? How do my attachments entangle and trip me up? Do the math in your own life. What needs to be subtracted? And what needs to be added? What needs your attention, and what really just needs to go? See, how we answer all of these questions today, my friends, my family, it says a lot about our discipleship to Jesus and the condition of our lives. Listen, this is Jesus' invitation. Yes, it's a command, but it's so much more than that. It's also an invitation into a worry-less life, not a worry-free life. It's not without cares and concerns, okay? But if our priorities are right and our attachments are in check, it is a life with more direction and less worry. Because as much as this has to do with Jesus not wanting us to worry, it's about a whole lot more. It's not just about battling worry every day, trusting God and slogging it out till the end. Jesus offers us a worry-less life because of his invitation into a grand adventure with him. Compared to the task and wonder of following him, our daily needs seem much less daunting, much less consuming. And this ultimate pursuit of Jesus overshadows our temporary and material needs. And I'm not here to tell any of you that following Jesus is easy. It's not. It really isn't. There are going to be many things to concern us. They will demand our thoughts, and they will require us to make sacrifices, small and big. But there is an invitation here into an adventure with Jesus where he's calling us into the unknown, where you won't be completely prepared, like I like to be all the time. And there will be unexpected things. And so you must follow him one step at a time. And all of that will demand your attention one step at a time. And he will provide everything else you need for the journey. And so then, the question for us today is, how should we respond? How should we live? Is more than an action or a practice, even though it will require both of us. But instead, there's two more imperatives that Jesus gives us. And next, they are a posture and a pace. A vertical posture and a daily pace. First, today, we need a vertical posture, a God-first approach, seeking God first and above all things. Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious like the Gentiles, for your heavenly Father knows what you need. But look at verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Imagine what life would be like for us if all our priorities were straightened out. Not an unconcerned life without care, but an uncomplicated one, where we do not seek out trouble or clutter our minds with more than we can really need or can handle, so that we can keep our eyes on the one who holds everything in his hands. So we are not preoccupied with this world, but the one to come, the one he brings. Imagine that. Second, we need a one-day-at-a-time pace. Attentive to what God has for today rather than what might be tomorrow. Jesus says it again in verse 34. In the word-for-word translation, he says it again. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. As Corrie ten Boom, believer, concentration camp, and Holocaust survivor once said, worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows. It empties today of strength. And so let's not give our strength away. Let's not pass up the opportunity in today. Imagine what it would mean if we took things one day at a time, expecting that our loving Heavenly Father wants to meet our needs today with our daily bread, not anticipating tomorrow's troubles, but demonstrating God's love today in whatever form it might take. How much evidence do we need that God will provide? How much? Hasn't He already done so much and been so generous to us? Amen? You want proof? No matter what you have worried about, no matter what you're going through or have been through, we are still here. Aren't we? We're still here. And somehow clothes are on our backs and there is some food in our bellies. And how many times have you been hungry like me and we didn't know where the money for groceries was going to come from, but we were fed? How many times were we broke and somehow money was given, a job was provided, or a miracle took place, and that was the only explanation? I'm pretty sure none of us here lack clothing. It would be pretty obvious today if someone did. We would notice. You know, even Dom and I right now, we're trusting God for some material things in our life. And we cannot do it ourselves. We haven't got a clue how it's going to work out. But God is convincing us day by day that He will. He has been faithful to us before. And He will be faithful to us again. And so right now I'm going to invite the band back up before we close. But listen, Crosspoint, remember what God has done. We are His. And He will provide. And we need to remind ourselves, we might remind others so they don't forget it either. Because perhaps the biggest troubles we need to face in life are the ones that never come. And so listen, Crosspoint, this is the big idea I want you to catch. If there's nothing else today, this is it I want you to take home. Worrying results from choices that we make that devalue who we are and distract us from our purpose and rob us of the gift of today. Worrying results from choices that we make that devalue who we are and distract us from our purpose, our one pursuit, and rob us of the gift of today that God has for us. And so, Crosspoint, what will it mean for us to seek the kingdom of God first? To respond to Jesus' invitation to follow Him today, no matter what? How can we slow down our lives and thoughts to share life with Him? One day at a time, not getting ahead of ourselves or out in front of Him, but with Jesus. I'm going to invite you guys to stand and we'll pray together. Join me in praying. Lord, we ask that You'd increase our faith. We are learning to trust You more and more. And so today I ask that You would give us the strength and help us to step out into what You want for us one day at a time, anticipating that You will meet us there. You have met us there before, and You will provide all that we need, just like You have before, as we pursue You and Your will here and in our lives. We love You. Amen.
Hey, and welcome back. Thanks for listening to this Sunday's message. We hope that we've helped you in your spiritual journey and that you are drawing closer to God at Crosspoint. We gather on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. in Northeast Edmonton and throughout the week in something we love to call home groups. Home groups are encouraging and transformational communities for people just like you. We believe that the journey of faith is done together, so we hope that you'll connect with us at thecrosspointchurch.ca. Now, let me remind you of who you are. You are the people of God, called by God into His redemptive mission in the world. So be who you are.